Praise God. I'm glad you're in church this morning. Amen. Y'all glad to be in church this morning? Look at the person beside you and say, "Boy, I'm so glad you came to church today." I wanted to show y'all a couple of pictures here, Tracy. If you want to go ahead and shoot those up on the screen. They sent me some pictures yesterday from the Living Waters house and the money that we sent down to buy the furniture and stuff for the kids in the house there in Guatemala, the orphanage. And this is just some, I guess they just had some flowers and got some pots and stuff. And the next picture, it's kind of hard to see, but that's the big couch and sectional area that we just purchased for them there. And their TV, DVR, DVD, DVD, got them a DVD player. And then there's the kids, and it, like I said, the pictures are a little out of whack, but that is... Estuardo and Julieta is the house parents there, and then that's the children that is in their house right there in the Living Waters house down there. So, praise God. So, good job, church. Amen. They're all blessed. The other thing we got going on this morning before I get into the Word is we have the Gideons with us today, and they're going to come and give a report. John, can you come on up here? Have John Seymour with us. Y'all give him a hand clap this morning as he's going to come up and... You know, we always support the Gideons strongly out of this church because we believe in the Word of God. Amen? How many of y'all know the Word works? Amen. If you like me and you travel around, the first thing I do when I go into a hotel is I slide open the drawer and see if there's a Bible in there. And there was a certain hotel chain, and I'll be nice this morning, won't mention it, but I pulled open the drawer and there was a Gideon Bible. And I went around to the other side and I opened it up and there was a Koran. And I said, "Well, this ain't right." So I never stayed there again. So anyway, praise God that the Word was there. Amen? Amen. So give us a report, brother.
Thank you, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've already pushed the button. I have 8 minutes, and when this is up, I'll be finished. I won't dawdle. You've heard many Gideon's reports, I imagine. We have one focus, and that's the Bible. We give the Bible away for free. We come to churches and give our reports at our own expense, and we go all over the world at our own expense in what we call blitzes. You've heard a normal Gideon report. I'll do it a little bit different to tell you about a blitz. It's funny because this last blitz took place in Guatemala and Nicaragua. And the Gideons that were there were from Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Australia, South Africa, United Kingdom, and the United States. Men all over the world, traveling at their own expense, staying at their own expense to hand out God's Word. And during this blitz, they wanted to give out 300,000 Bibles. Instead, we gave out 651,000 Bibles in a 2-week period. The exhortation is found in Colossians, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." If you don't mind, since it's my time, I was going to do something different, but that song that you just played reminded me, you know where it comes from, is in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, what did he say? He laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Hallelujah. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I. Send me." So you got me. You know, I'm a little ruffled because he also asked me to preach at Garner State Park this morning, and it got hot. But I'm a rancher. I know about heat. And yes, we prayed for rain. And we prayed for the EMS team. We heard about that also. I believe it was Gary and Patty. I live in Hunt, so right up the road. Just go up 187 till it dead ends, and you'll see my rock and cactus and cedar. Well, I love it. We go places at our own expense because we think it's worth it, and we know that you do. This is a church that we are very thankful to be in partnership with. This blitz that took place resulted in over 10,000 people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those of you that have ever been to a place like Nicaragua or Guatemala, you can't believe how deep the hunger is for the Word of God. You know, there was an example of one little girl whose parents practiced witchcraft, black magic, worse than you can imagine. She ran out of the room, tears in her eyes, because she said, "Now I know I don't have to go to hell." Parents that prayed of the devil saved. Just that one girl would have been worth the trip. Save her. Those 651,000 copies of the Word cost about $1.32 a piece. That's where you come in. For $1.32, we'll give out a Bible with your help. For $132, you can give away, we'll give away for you 100 Bibles. I know the times are hard. I'm in the hunting business, and my hunters are in the rig towing business, and there are no rigs being towed, so there's no hunting. But this shall pass. You know, I've got my health. My wife has her health. Our daughter has her health. Her husband, I guess he's all right. He's got her up there in Minneapolis, you know. So, but it's summertime. She'll come back. Let me read to you what the Gideons have to say, and then I'll end a minute early. We are so thankful for your participation in the Gideons International. You are making a difference by helping spread God's word through the world. Most likely you've heard the stories of people who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by way of a copy of God's word placed by the Gideons International. You may even know someone personally who has a Gideon testimony. Could there be any more important message to share with the world? Right now, we have an urgent need for scriptures that we cannot fill. It's a need that can be felt throughout the world. Your gift today could have eternal impact on a life as soon as next week. Please prayerfully consider your gift to the Gideons International and how God may further use you to send His Word throughout the world. For less than an average of $1.32 a scripture, God's Word can be placed in the hands of individuals around the world. Again, thank you so much for all you have done to impact lives for Jesus Christ through the Gideons International. We continue to thank God for your faithfulness in supporting this ministry. I want to thank you for allowing me to come before you and give this report. I hope that you feel that we are productive servants. Amen. That's what we strive to be. Is there anything I can, any questions I can answer? Well, if not, God bless each one of you. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, brother. Now, the Gideons will be at the door with an open Bible when y'all leave church, so you can take up your offering there. That's not, what was it, brother, $1.35? $1.32 for a Bible to change somebody's life? Well, you know, so set you a high water mark there. Say you're going to go 10, 20, whatever, and give them an offering. So they'll be at the doors. I guess y'all, do you have one for every door, person for every, all three doors? So all three doors, no matter which exit you leave, they'll be there with an open Bible. So just place it in there and bless them. Amen? Get your Bibles out this morning. Oh, we can do better than that, church. Get your Bibles out. And go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14 this morning. Now, I'm going to, this sounds so funny to be saying this. This is already the 9th of July and Pentecost to 10th. Today's the 10th. See, I'm already one more day gone. This is the 10th of July and Pentecost Sunday was the 9th of June. And I'm still preaching. I started 7 weeks before Pentecost preaching on Pentecost. And then now I'm just now having my last message for the June 9th message now in July. What can I say? I'm a long-winded preacher, okay? So I'm finishing up today my June 9th message on July the 10th and on the Holy Spirit. And I purposely had this at the very end. And, you know, I should have finished last week, but last week was 4th of July message. So I had to preach on liberty and all the great things of God about that. So anyway, here we're going to go this morning. So if you were taking notes, this fits in your message. You're wondering how this fits. If I only gave you 9 points, well, here's number 10 this morning. If you weren't taking notes, shame on you. Okay, so let's pray before we go into this morning. Lord, I just pray right now for the power of your Holy Spirit to be here upon us. I think that as we approach the Word of God this morning, as we read the Word of God, that it is your words, Lord. And it leaps off the pages, it leaps into the ears of the people, it runs swiftly into their hearts this morning. That, Lord, this morning that we hear you clearly. We hear what you're trying to say to us clearly. Lord, we are attentive unto your word and attentive unto the things of God. And we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit just broken forth upon us this morning and shed out for each and every one of us here this morning. And, Lord, we praise you for it and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, how many of y'all this morning believe the Word of God's true? Do you really? Do you believe your Bible's true? Well, what if you change translations? You went from King James to NIV. I mean, is it both of them still true? Right? If you're a Christian and you don't believe the Bible's true, you only believe what your denomination says, then I'm telling you, you're making a mistake in life because we need to know what the Word of God says. Now, we may not all understand the Word of God. Y'all with me? Some of us may interpret something in the Word one way or another, but let me tell you something. It's your job. Hear me now. It is your job to read the Word of God and come up with the answer to what the Word of God says for each and every one of you. When I get through preaching this message today, you should not take what I said at face value and say, well, Pastor said it must be true. You're supposed to go into the Word. You're supposed to look at the Word. You're supposed to read the Word. You're not supposed to get mad at me. You're supposed to read the Word. Hello? I'm just the preacher. I'm the messenger. I'm the one delivering what the Bible says. That's it. I'm quickening your attention to the Scriptures. Hello? Right? But you've got to read it. You've got to look at it. You've got to sort it out. Listen to me. Jesus loves you guys. Do you know that? You know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that all the crazy, idiotic, stupid things that we've all done in life, that he still loves us? He never has given up on us. He didn't say, well, Brian, I've had it. That's it. He's not in there. I've had enough of him. Every time I turn around, he's just at the altar repenting. That didn't happen in heaven. The Bible says God loved you so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for you. Now, that's severe. That's extreme. That God was going to say, man, I need to... Wow, what are we going to do? Well, let's send down fire and let's burn them and see if they won't get right. He didn't say that. He didn't say, man, I tell you what, let's just cause the earth to rock back and forth and pitch like a boat on the ocean. They'll see I'm God and by God, they'll get right then. He didn't do that, right? See, those are things that I think about. That's why you should be glad I'm not God. You know? Earth didn't listen, just get hold of it, shake it a little bit. Okay. Want me to do that again? Want me to turn it upside down? Y'all better straighten up down there. See, that's the kind of thoughts I have. That's the worldly John Wayne cowboy understanding about things. Get a rope. And when God says he looks down at mankind and all the craziness we're doing, all the sin that man's involved in, all the depravities that is in mankind and in the world today, God says, well, I want to send my son and shed his blood to make a propitiation, to make a pardon, to make a peace, to make whatever that person needed to make it right between God and from me and them. That's what God was saying. He's going to do whatever it took. But that's the way he did. He didn't shake us. So that if God didn't do that at that point, then why in the world, after he shed the blood of his son, is he going to come down and, you know, inflict you with cancer in your body, see if he can get you your attention? Why would God do that then after he's already shed the blood of his son? No. His grace and mercy is fresh and new every day. If you'll just turn to him, you'll just cry out to him, he'll always be there for you. He'll always be there for you. Amen? He's not turned his back on you. I don't care how far you've gone down the road. He ain't turned his back on you. Y'all with me? So then if God said, if Jesus said, it's really important for me that now that I've shed my blood for you, that I go to heaven. Because when I go to heaven, I'm going to ask for the promise of the Father to be sent down upon you. Then don't you think that if Jesus, that was his first order of business to do when he, after the resurrection, after he ascended into heaven, that the first order of business to do was to see that the promise that God had said, and we've been through all of this, I can't go over and review it all or I'd be back another month. But we said that God said he was going to send his spirit upon mankind. He's going to live and dwell in mankind. He was going to do all this. And that was Jesus' first order of business. Don't you think it's important? Setting priorities, you know, is a very important thing that we have to do in life. And if that was the high priority of Jesus, to go to heaven and get it straight, to pour down the Spirit of God, then we should not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be a church that just because we may not understand there, and just because we've had bad experiences, or just because people are crazy. Look at the person beside you and say, people are crazy. You know, and I'm not picking on any one certain denomination or anything, but you've got a broad spectrum out there of this world, the people that call themselves Christians from one end to the other. I'm not saying they're not Christian, but saying you got a broad spectrum of belief. You got all the way you can go into Kentucky and find some snake handlers. You ain't going to get me in there. I'm telling you, well, I hate snakes. I don't care what they say. Maybe they say, well, you don't have enough faith. Brother, I don't. Get that snake away from me. Bless God, I don't like it. I shoot the snake. Right? Y'all with me? I don't go for that. Right? Then you got a church on the other side over here that nobody says anything and it's, you know, it's stoic and completely ice cold and nobody even knows that the Bible exists, right? You got two extremes. You got all this, and folks, you have to go to the Word and you have to find out for yourself what the Word of God says. Are y'all with me? And I remember when I first got saved and I first started reading the Bible and I was reading through it, I just was amazed at things. I said, well, why didn't anybody ever tell me this? And I was raised in church. And I was like, well, how come I never heard about this? Or how come I never heard about that? And I was just reading it all. And I was just so amazed at the Word of God. And it's been 26 years. In 2 weeks, it'll be 26 years since I got saved. And I still to this day find scriptures and get my wife and say, look, did you know what said this? Look at this. Look what it says here. It's never, the Word is alive. And you have to go into it. And that's what he wants. God loves you so much, but you can't just sit on a bump as a bump on a log and not do anything. We've got to dig in it. We've got to delve in it. Well, I don't read. Listen to me. I never read a book in my life until I got saved. And I was saved at 24. I didn't read because I had dyslexia. And every time I read the book, every time I read, I was a real slow reader and I was embarrassed. And anytime anybody snickered when I was reading in school or whatever, well, then I just, you know, I met them after class. And they were snicker again, you know. And so I that's the way I lived my life like that, you know. And I didn't want to read, never read a book. And so there's no excuse. Now I'm going to be preaching this message this morning about something that I guess, I don't know, I don't think it's controversial because it's just in the Word. If it's in the Word, I believe it. But I'm going to be preaching on praying in tongues this morning. All right? And I want to just look at the Word. I want y'all to understand what the Bible says. And we're going to say, hey, God, you speak to me and you show me this morning. Can we be there on that page? All right. Ain't no snakes coming out or nothing like that. And see, what's wrong with it is most of the problem with it is most people haven't understood what the Word says. And so they've made it hocus pocus and mystical and magical and almost voodoo hoodoo about receiving the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And they've made it all so mystical that nobody in the world even understands what in the world's going on. And I don't want to do that this morning. Y'all know me. I'm pretty plain. So if you're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. I'm not going to review over all my notes. Like I said, if I did, it's just going to be forever. But we've talked about all the things. We talked about being drunk in the Spirit. We talked about, that's what I said, being drunk in the Spirit. Y'all, hey, yeah, hey, come on. It's a lot cheaper to be drunk in the Spirit than it is to buy Bud Light. We talked about Jude chapter 20. About being built up and God's wanting to do construction. And the last one we talked about was Romans chapter 8 about the Spirit prays for your weaknesses. And how many of y'all got some weaknesses in here? I love that. A while ago I said, how many of y'all believe the Bible's true? Yeah. And he said, how many of y'all got any weaknesses in here, y'all? Yeah. So today we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to call what the title of this one message is, The Download from Heaven. Everybody say The Download from Heaven. Verse 1, pursue love. You know, right there we get to stop and say, okay, amen, let's go home. Praise God. We could just give up right there and say, oh, well, we're so far off from that if we ever even pursue love. You know, if it said pursue war, y'all say, yeah, come on, brother, preach it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Let's talk about prophesying for a minute before I get into tongues. Prophesying in the Bible, what he's talking about here, is not necessarily always foretelling the future. Prophecy in here is a word. It could be what we just saw Brother John do over here in a minute, just giving a report talking about like that is a prophecy on a level because he preached the word. He said what the word says. He pronounced it. Okay, prophecy can be on a whole nother level where I just said you know. Jesus loves you. That's prophecy. That's what the Word says. I said it before. There is a dimension and a level of prophecy that can be the foretelling of the future or something going on in your life, or God calls you out with a word and says, you know, the Lord says to you today this or that or the other. That can take place. It's not that. That's a gift of the Spirit. Okay? But in this instance, he's talking about in a church setting. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about in a church setting. And he says, verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. The number one thing I want to tell you about speaking in tongues is this. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking to God. Is that what he says? Is that what it says? I mean, there's no way around it, isn't it? So if you pray in tongues, you're praying unto God. You're speaking to God. You're talking to God. Amen? But now just imagine in this in a church service right here. And if everybody was speaking in tongues, and we'll get into this in a minute, the Bible says that everybody's going to sit here and say, huh, what? Because we're not going to know what's going on. So he would rather you prophesy. He'd rather you encourage. He'd rather you talk to the brothers, preach to the brother, and encourage them because you're in a church setting. He's not talking about your personal home and your personal prayer language. He's talking about in a church setting. Y'all with me? You got to understand that by reading 1 Corinthians 14 to understand what Paul's talking about. So he says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I just got down laughing at this word mysteries. Do you know that the word mysteries, if you look up the root of what it means in the Greek, it means it's derived from the first part of the word, means to shut your mouth. Isn't it pretty funny? Remember, I've been preaching about this, talking about how many times that we go and pray and we have a prayer, but our prayer life is a grocery list to God. Right? You just got your grocery list and you just go to God and you just give him the list. You just go right down the list and you just say, God, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and this, this for me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Talk to you tomorrow. Right? So praying in tongues, part of that word when he says you speak mysteries unto God, it's like, it's the part when you shut up and he spoke. When you had to shut your mouth. I think it's humorous because I just think that God, I know I have prayed before when God would have wanted to say, Robert, would you please shut up and listen? Would you please quit talking like you're talking and let me speak? Would you please quit the negative? Would you please quit the naysaying? Would you quit everything you've prayed? All you've done is look at the problem. Would you please be quiet for a minute and let me talk about the positive? Y'all ever get to thinking about Jesus? He's sailing across the sea with the disciples and a storm comes up. And the boat's just pitching and bucking so much that the disciples, these are seasoned fishermen. And they are convinced the boat's going to sink, everybody's going to drown. Right? And Jesus is asleep, it says, on the back of the boat in a pillow. That's a big contrast. When seasoned fishermen are panicking, saying, we're going down. And Jesus is just back there on the back, asleep. Then he has to rebuke them for their lack of faith. And then he steps up and calms the storm. And they're like, we've never done that before. We didn't know that we had that ability within our toolbox. They were thinking about, you know, well, we could get a rope and we could see if we could lash the boat together so it doesn't break apart. They're thinking about getting more buckets and bail out. They're thinking, you know, this kind of thoughts, like we naturally would. They forgot about the supernatural. How many times in life have you looked at your life and the things going on in your life and you're only looking at it from a natural means, a natural understanding, a natural thinking, and so therefore you're never looking at the supernatural? And sometimes God would want you just to say, would you please be quiet? Would you please let me pray through you something positive? Now, when I started looking at the first time I ever heard anything about tongues, I thought, this is the greatest thing in the world because I can't mess it up. What a great gift that God would give me a prayer language that I couldn't mess up. And it's in a mystery, or it's speaking in a mystery, and the devil can understand it. What a great thing. You say, oh, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me just remind you of something. You remember when the angel appeared before Zechariah and he said, look, your wife Elizabeth, she's been barren all these years, but she's going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. And he says, he's like, ain't no way. I paraphrase that, but that's what he said. Ain't no way it's going to happen. And so the angel said, well, look, the only way we can make this happen, the only way we can get the word of God to come to pass, because the word of God has to come to pass in your life. It's already been laid out and spoken of and prophesied. It's going to come through. The only way we can get you is you're going to be struck dumb for 9 months. 9 months, a guy couldn't speak. He said, well, that was mean of God. No, because the man's mouth was in so out of whack that he would have caused the miscarriage with his words. Elizabeth said, there's something down on the inside of me. He said, man, you ate too much fruit the other day. Something's just all wrong with you. She said, no, I think I'm pregnant. He said, you ain't pregnant. Something else wrong with you. You probably got a tumor. Y'all with me? And so he says, oh, we're going to get this baby born in the world. We're going to strike him dumb. So he never spoke for 9 months until the baby came forth. They were trying to argue about what his name was going to be. And when he finally declared what the angel had said to him, that his name was supposed to be John, his mouth was open, he could speak. And boy, did he prophesy then. Right? You see, church, there's sometimes in life that in your prayer life, you can actually be giving fuel to the devil in your prayer life. You say, Pastor, how could I do that? Sure. You go in there and you pray stupid things like, God, this is terrible. I don't know how it's going to be. These problems are so great. And you know what happened to so-and-so, and you know what happened to so-and-so, and they didn't make it. And I don't know how. There's no any way I could. I wish you could do something. Oh, God, please do something. Oh, God. I'm telling you, you're just giving fuel to the devil on that one. You'd be better to just be quiet. You'd be better to just put duct tape on your mouth and say, I'm just going to speak, than to utter those words off your lips. So when he says you speak mysteries in there, I just believe that God has a way to just say, listen, if I can just get them to be quiet and speak and pray what I want them to pray, we might get something done in their life. So he goes on. He says they speak mysteries. Verse 3 says, and he who prophesies speaks of edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. But speaking in tongues right here. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Have you ever needed to be edified? Huh? Am I right? Is everybody in here, every now and then you need to be edified? You can't find anybody else to give you a good word. You might as well just give it to yourself because you need a little building up. You need a little strength and you need a little good word, your direction. Hello? You just need to have some sort of a building up. You just need the Holy Spirit to come and say, you know, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Calm down. I'm with you. God is great. Listen, he's going to move. Don't worry. It's coming to pass. Just hold on. Y'all with me? That's what he's talking about. He's saying, look, when you start to pray in tongues and you're speaking in this language that God gave you, that you're speaking in a way that's building you up and it's praying mysteries unto God, you finally got your perfect prayer going. Hello? He said, Pastor, it's spooky. It's strange. Let's just go on. Hold on. Hold on. Verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Now, he's talking about in a church setting. The Apostle Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But if you're going to do it in church, I'd rather you be prophesying, speaking, encouraging one another, declaring the good things in you know, because we always put it in English, but it wasn't even in English. In Greek or in Aramaic or whatever they were speaking in the churches of that day. You with me? He said, I want you to be speaking like that because not only is it building you up, and it's going to be, I want to build other people up. Isn't it interesting to look at this and see how much God cares about everybody else and wants you to be his mouthpiece, the vessel of his spirit, going to someone else and being an encouragement for them? I was watching a TV show the other day, and a guy had a spot on his lip, and the person said to him, ooh, what's that? A little discoloration. You better get that checked out. And so he was all panicked because he said he had something on his lip. And he went to the next person. Hey, what do you think this is? What do you think? He says, I don't know. That's kind of strange. You better go get that checked out. So he went to the doctor, and he says, what do you think this is? He says, I don't know. And he said to the doctor, how could you not know? I mean, I've got this strange discoloration on my lip. You know, he's beginning to get more panicked and more panicked and more panicked. And he says, well, let me take a biopsy of it. He says, biopsy? Oh, my God, you're going to take a biopsy of this thing on my lip. And he just panic set all over the guy. And so finally he had to call back in for the test results, and he called back in with the test results, and he's talking to me, and they said, well, the test results are negative. He said, negative? Oh, my God, they're negative. Oh, because he was thinking negative being bad. Because he was so convinced it was just a blemish on the side of his lip, you know, it was nothing. But by the time he'd got to the report, as soon as they said, well, it's negative, he just said, oh, God, it's a bad report. You know, it's negative. They're going to tell me I'm dying of cancer. Something got me. And that person would say, no, negative is good. In this case, negative is positive. Oh, okay, thank you, you know. But is that not the truth? We get something, and we get to looking at it, we just build it up, and it's not even what it is? Hello? He says here that when you begin to pray, and you begin to pray perfectly, you begin to pray that you're building yourself up, it's going to be the word that's coming to you that's positive and good, not the word that's coming to you that's negative. Hello? You need a positive word. We all need to be edified. We all need to be built up. All right? Now, you go on and says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak in either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? Even things of that life are without flute or harp, that they make sounds unless they make a distinction in the sound. How will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpeter makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter in tongues the words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? So he's talking about in a church setting. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. Do y'all know how many kinds of languages there are in the world? How many you think? I want to hear some word. Come on, help me here. How many? 2,000? I got 2,000 over here. How many? Who thinks there's more than 2,000? How many? 10? 10? 10,000. Okay, I got 2,000 here, 10,000 here. Anybody want to take another shot? Huh? How many? Y'all think there's more than 10,000? How many of you think there's at least 10,000 or more? Raise your hand. Okay, how many think there's less than 10,000? Y'all are, and how many are not going to participate at all? (laughs) 6,900 languages in the world. 6,900. Now, what's interesting is I'd been reading a history book on Genghis Khan, and when he went through, he wiped out whole ethnic tribes of people in his day and killed every one of them. And there was languages that were lost that were spoken in dialects that there's something that maybe is a derivative of it, but those languages were lost. And there is languages of those 6,900 that there's only 10 to 15 to 20 people could speak. But there's 6,900 known languages on this earth. That's a lot. And, you know, Americans, we're the worst of all the nations. We do good to speak English. And we don't do that very well. And then some of us can branch into English and Spanish, but, you know, most of the other countries, most people speak four or five different languages. Everybody always tells me English is the hardest language or one of the hardest languages to learn. And I always say, I don't know, I don't think it was too hard. I'm by two or three, I got it. So, but it didn't work quite that way. But I'm always amazed in languages because when you go and you're, you know, like if you go to an airport in Europe or any place like that and you're just listening to everybody go by and you're listening to all the different languages, it's just like, what? That was a word? He said something. Right? Y'all with me? Then who are we to sit around and say, well, tongues isn't a language? Because the Bible said it's a language. The day of Pentecost, it broke out and they said that they were all speaking in tongues. And then the Bible says that the people, all I believe it was 16 different languages that were being spoken, that they heard them praising the wonderful works of God. There was people to interpret. I've got friends in Mexico that did not speak Spanish that were living in the mission field that, you know, like went to bed one night and woke up the next morning and they could speak fluent Spanish. I think that's absolutely 100% totally cheating. Because I've had to work at mine all my life. I've had them lay hands on me and pray over me, and I ain't never got it. I just think it's totally unfair. Our Russian guys that come here from Volgograd, Victor, got English. Went to bed one night, woke up the next morning, could speak English. Was speaking in the language, didn't really know what it was. Had to go find somebody. They started talking to him, and he said, well, you're speaking English. I mean, really, you know, think about it. Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, right? Story you heard since you're a little kid or whatever. Everybody spoke the same language. And when they spoke the same language, listen to me. When they spoke the same language, they said, let's build a tower and let's build it all the way up to the heights of heaven. Well, if you go and you really look at that and study it, what he's talking about is let's build something that we can get up there with God, equal to God. And God said, he saw what was going on, and he said, we need to go down there and do something about it. Again, I'm paraphrasing here. Y'all can go read it, Genesis chapter 11. Let's go down there. We need to do something about it. Because he said, if we don't do something about it, they will build the tower. So God himself declares that the human race, that all speaking the same language, working together in one focus and one vision, there was nothing that they couldn't do. Wouldn't it be good if we could just get Christians all on the same page? It just always turns my stomach when I come up and I say something, oh, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a, and they call it a denomination. Oh, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic. I thought we were Christians. Believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. End of story. Wouldn't it be great if we could all be together? Be on the same page. Well, I believe that's what God was trying to do when he's going to get people where they could were filled with the Spirit when they're speaking another language, that they could all get together and be finally speaking mysteries that God was ordaining, that was going back to him, so that everything worked in agreement. Y'all with me? He said, man, if you get in agreement, folks, listen to me, husband and wives, if you just get in agreement, you can't imagine what would happen. I love it when I say anything about husbands, wives, and everybody just starts looking forward. You get this stare in your face, and you're looking right back at the wall. Nobody dare look at their wife or their husband's. Yeah, she just get in agreement with me. It's what you're thinking. Or you're thinking, oh, God, let her hear that. Let her hear that. Oh, let him hear that. Let him hear that. But your stare is forward, expressionless. Because if you were to smile, then you're going to get in trouble when you get home. I saw you. You were looking. You want me to get in agreement with you, don't you? Yeah. See, you don't have to. I don't have to have like the gift of the word of knowledge or anything about your marriage. I just, you know, I've been married for 32 years. I know. It's all the same. You know, it's all the same no matter where you are. Do you know no language you're speaking? It's always all the same. You know that? Sin is sin and people are people and it's always the same no matter what language you're in. It just maybe gets done a little differently. Look at the person beside you and say, well, I wonder when the pastor's going to get through. Okay. Let's move on. He says here, verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of tongues in the world, and none of them is without significance. It all has importance. It all has importance. Everything has importance. Everything in the kingdom of God has importance. Everything has importance. Praying in tongues has importance. It's not something you should be scared of. It's not something that you say, well, that's an eye of the denomination I go to. We don't believe in that stuff. Well, then you don't believe the Bible's true. You don't believe in the Bible. Now, we may say we believe in the Bible and we may not understand it. We may not be walking in the fruit of it. And that's what I'm challenging you about today, is understanding what God has for us. He has a way, basically, for you to pray to him in a language the devil doesn't understand, so he can't mess your prayer up. You can't mess it up because your parts shut up and speak, so that what you need in your life that God knows it's going to bless you, you can come to pass. It's a download from heaven to earth. Have you ever got a new program for your computer, or you bought a camera and they sent the little disc with you, you know, and you put it in your computer and you close it and the little screen comes up and says, now you're going to download this application or this whatever, and you're supposed to just follow the steps, right? I seem to always get it messed up or do something, and then after it's done, I can't find it. But, you know, there are intelligent people. Y'all can't believe, I asked Jake to put those pictures up, because it was sent to me on an email. So I just sent the email to Jake, forwarded him, said, can you get these up on there? So I didn't hear from him. So this morning I thought, you know, I don't know if he got my text. And so I'll go download them and just bring a disc myself. Y'all cannot believe the amount of effort I had to put in to get 5 pictures onto a CD disc this morning. And I've got about 46 copies of those scattered all over my computer in places they shouldn't be, trying to get them onto a disc. So you can mess the downloads up sometimes, but if you just put the disc in and follow the simple instructions that are supposed to be there, and put the click on the right place, then it downloads, and then your computer just accepts it, right? And the next time you're supposed to go in there and just plug your camera in, and boom, there's your pictures, and pop, it pops up, and here it is, and you just go zippity-doo-dah, right? And so what God says, I want to download into my people. I want to download into my people what they need for what's coming down the road. So he said, I'm just going to make it to where they'll open up their mouth and they'll pray in a language that they can't mess up, the devil can't mess up. Wouldn't it be great if the disc just said, just insert and close the lid and we'll do the rest? Huh? And your computer just downloaded it and put it in the place it was supposed to be. If I didn't have to mess with it, it wouldn't get messed up. It was my intervention that got it all messed up and in the wrong place. How glorious. God said, look, they're going to mess this up. Y'all hear me here this morning? He said, they're going to mess it up. Let's just give them a language they pray. They don't even know what they're talking about. All they got to do is sit there and be a mouthpiece. And you say, well, that's kind of strange. And God would say to you, you're difficult and I needed to do it this way. And you'd say, well, that's kind of weird. No, it's other Christians who have made it weird. It's Bible. I've had people come to me with all different takes on praying in tongues. All different, everything from the mystical to the idiotic. And I said, why don't we just read the Bible? Now, I'm going to finish up right here. I've been forever on this message, 2 months, preaching about the Holy Spirit. And we could be real Pentecostal, or we could just be people of faith in the Word of God. Amen? And I'm here today to tell you, let me ask you something. Let me put it to you this way. I'm here today to tell you that every person in the world that is a believer in Jesus Christ, I don't care what church they go to, whatever they want to, all they have to do is ask for God to fill them full of the Holy Spirit, and He will. And if you want to argue the fact with me that we're all full of the Holy Spirit when you get saved, well, then you go back and get this tape series and listen to it, because I proved that wrong. All you have to do is ask. Wow, that's a difficult one. I mean, God gives us a little bit of responsibility. How can we mess up asking? But I've had people say, well, I asked, but I didn't receive. Well, how could you ask and not receive if the only thing you had to do was ask? Are y'all with me? He said, all you have to do is ask to be filled full of the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want everything you got. I ask you to fill me full of the Holy Spirit. I had this service where I laid hands on all the men in the church and said, when I lay my hands on you, you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible says. Laid hands on the guy full of the Holy Spirit. So bless God. Then isn't that what happened? Hello? Right? You can't mess up asking. It doesn't even say believe that you have received and then you. No, no, no. He just said ask and you shall receive. So then the very first step that every person has to make is you have to ask. The second thing is you got to get out of the way. The person that's blocking everything from happening in your life and praying in tongues is you. Because you've been taught religious garbage most of your life. And all the religiosity of life comes up and gets in your way, so that therefore you're saying, I don't know. Ooh, I don't know. This is scary. I think this is Robert. Okay, this is thus saith Robert. All right? I'm still under the anointing, but I'm saying it's thus saith Robert. I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be two kinds of people. Those that are scared, and then those others that are just being completely fools. Jumping, dancing, doing a... Y'all with me? And there's going to be those others that are in heaven, and I think, okay, am I here just to get thrown out, or do I get to stay? And so there's going to be a little bit of fear in them. But others of us are just going to be, I mean, cutting a rug. We're just going to be kicking up the dust and flying around and hooping and hollering. And see, I don't see us all going before the throne, you know, in some sort of a Gregorian chant before the altar, you know, with our robes and incense slingers. Give a bunch of cowboys some incense slingers, boy, we're going to get in some trouble. Because the first thing you're going to do is try to do a whole loop. You're going to have fire and incense slung everywhere. I just see the kingdom of heaven as we break in through the doors and we're just like so over just beside ourselves, like something you can never even imagine, that we're in heaven and with our heavenly Father. We see Jesus and we see all that are gone before us and we're dancing and jumping and laughing. I don't see it as a somber affair. I don't see it as this, oh, you got to be so holy and reverent, oh God. And if you're of the class that you're so holy, God, I love you, dear Lord, you're going to have a hard time praying in tongues. Because it's ingrained in you that, oh, wow, this has got to be, it's a heavy thing. But if you're just of the crazy category, of the I don't really care what anybody thinks about me category, of I just am so hungry for God that I don't really care, I just want everything from heaven category, then it becomes an easy thing. Because you're already wired for it. Because if you've asked, received the Holy Spirit, then you have the ability to pray in tongues, each and every one of you, whether you're using it or not. You don't have to be unleashed. You don't have to be turned on. You don't have to be whatever. You just have to get out of the way and let God use you. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know. Let me just carry on just a minute more. God has got to use your brain. You can't function without it. If you take your brain out, you cease to function. So God has got to use your brain, okay? You can't just stand and go, and something's going to come out of your mouth. Your body has to function. Your vocal cord has to function. Your throat has to work. Your tongue, however speaking is speaking. I don't know how I speak. How many of y'all in here know how you speak? Do you know how you speak? I mean, I'm throwing this out. Do you really understand the process of speaking? Have you ever thought about how you breathe and then all of a sudden you kind of feel panic because you can't breathe? Or is that just me? Huh? You get to thinking about breathing. And then you kind of get kind of funky because you're thinking about breathing. You got involved. If you just stop thinking about it, you'll just breathe. I know I'm weird. All of y'all are going to go home and try this. Do not call me if you feel like you're having a heart attack because you can't breathe. Pastor, I can't breathe anymore. You said something about breathing. I've been thinking about breathing. I can't breathe. God has to use you. He has to use your mouth. He has to use, however you talk, he has to use those same principles for you to pray in tongues. He has to use it. Now, see, I don't even know how I use English or Spanish or anything else. But I know that I'm really working hard on trying to get my Spanish up to snuff. And so I've been taking in scriptures and putting in my prayer life, and I've been praying in Spanish. And you cannot imagine how I can get so lost and can't come up with another word, and I'm trying to express myself and I'm lost, I'm hung. I just need a word. I need a word in Spanish to come to me. And then every now and then, man, he'll pop up a word. That's it. And so then I got the word, and then I got going. And then I just speak it out. Oh, and I mess up. I get my verb tenses wrong. It doesn't make any difference, because the only thing you're going to learn about speaking in Spanish, you just got to speak. And if you don't speak, you know what? You're never going to speak, because if you're embarrassed to speak, then you're not going to speak. So I make mistakes all the time. I talk all kinds of strange slang Spanish, man. When I'm around all my people that speak Spanish, they laugh at me all the time. It doesn't matter. I just let it rip. I tell them I can't speak English too good, so how can I speak Spanish right? But the point I'm trying to make here is that it has to come to my brain, the word to speak, to get it out. Because if it doesn't come to my brain, then I don't know what to say. I don't just stand there and say, I'm going to speak Spanish now. This is probably the simplest message you've ever heard on praying in tongues. But I like to be basic. There's not a one of you in here that could not be operating in your heavenly prayer language, praying to God, if you would just get out of the way. Nobody's held back. But you got to do something about it. You got to be sincere. You got to ask. You got to be hungry. And then you have to let God use your faculties. There's going to be a word come to your thinking that then has to become out of your mouth. And if you don't speak it out of your mouth, then you know what happens? You don't speak it and you don't pray. Nothing works. Just like if you're going to speak Spanish and you don't let the word come out of your mouth. Oh, I was thinking that word. Did you get it, brother? I was thinking. Did you get it? That's weirder than just speaking it. Hello? So you have to use your faculties. You have to use it. It has to come out of your brain. It has to use you. The word's going to come there. And listen, it's not gibberish. It's not dee 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 da 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 ba 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 hoo 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 hee hee hee. It's a language. Have I just lost you? Are y'all still with me? I mean, have I gone too far? What's the first thing you're going to do? Ask. Woo. What's the second thing you're going to do? Get out of the way. That's it. Two simple things. Ask and get out of the way. Amen? And then I guess number three would have to be, then you're going to have to step out by faith and do something with it. Right? You don't know how when they introduce me in Mexico or wherever in Guatemala, and they say, well, you know, this is Dr. Robert Richards going to come up here. And then I go to speak, and I speak in Spanish like a slang street person. That it's hard for me because of the pride in me wants to say, well, Dr. Richards should speak well. And I got to laugh at myself one day. I said, I am Dr. Richards in English, and I speak just like this. So how could I even be embarrassed about my Spanish? But it had to overcome that because I never wanted to speak it because I was embarrassed that I wasn't going to sound exactly proper. Y'all with me? It's the same thing as speaking in tongues. So I want you to stand to your feet now. I want you to look at the person beside you and say, he's long-winded, but I do like him. I want to have my prayer team, pastoral team, come down here if you would. And up at the front. And the Gideons are going to be in the back at the doors. So make sure you have an offering for them this morning and we can bless them. And we're going to be here. Now listen, church. I'm going to be real simple this morning. I'm going to pray over you just like I always do. I'm going to dismiss the service just like I always do. But we're going to be here at the front to pray for you. If you want prayer, if you want prayer about the Holy Spirit, you want prayer about anything going on in life, you want prayer of just a problem going on in life, we're here to pray for you. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm glad somebody's going to pray for me. And we believe God for miracles. Amen. So I don't know what's going on in life, but I'm telling you, God is big enough to work in your life and make it happen. Amen. So grab the person's hand beside you. And I'm going to pray over you and bless you. And then this altar is open for prayer. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, we're going to leave this building today. And I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for the ability to pray in tongues and pray mysteries unto you and to be able to speak into heaven. And, Lord, prayers that we can't mess up. And I ask you today, Lord, as we walk out of these doors and we go out into the world, that, Lord, you lead us across the paths of people who need to know you, Jesus. And you give us the inspiration, you give us the wisdom, you give us the knowledge to be able to speak to them, Lord, and tell them about your goodness. So, Lord, we ask you today just to lead us and guide us. And I ask you to bless every person here, Lord. And this week to be the greatest week of their life. And, Lord God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. We're down here to pray with you. Be blessed.